Father, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your loving kindness, Lord God. We pray, Lord, as we always pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and move. Holy Spirit, come and work in us, Lord God. Father, we thank you for it, your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that he does in us, Lord God. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love each other, Lord God. We forgive each other. Lord, strengthen us, Lord God, in your spirit. Strengthen us in your power. Lord, help us to get this part, this piece on accountability, Lord God. Oh, Lord, because it's teaching us how we love each other and how we take care of each other. So, Lord, I pray that we would get it, Lord God. The old hymn says, we'll know we are Christians by our love. So, Lord, I pray that your love would fall on us, Lord God, as we are walking accountability, spiritual accountability with each other. Oh, Lord, strengthen us. The world needs it, Lord God. The world must see it, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray that you would do this work in us and help us as we get greater understanding in this concept in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm just telling somebody, you know, we come here every Sunday to learn these lessons, but I'm hoping that we're taking it out and we're living it, that we're digesting it, that it makes a difference. You know, I know it has helped me. You know, it has helped me as I'm studying this lesson, and I'm telling you, it's changing me. It's causing me to pause, you know, when it comes to my brothers and sisters now. I'm pausing a little longer and thinking a little harder about how I'm interacting with them and how I'm helping them, and that I'm not just rushing on my way and not thinking about what they might need and taking the time to pray with them and care for them and care about them. So we just want to just really just talk about that these classes are not just so we can have a Sunday school class. These classes are so that we can start living as children of the living God, that the world can see it. You know, you don't have to be beating people over the head with the Bible and quoting scriptures. You've got to live it. You know, if they don't see it lived, you know, then your testimony, everything you're saying means nothing if you're not living it. So again, folks, we're all working in this together to try and live it. And I know we've got quite a few people at Pastor Wilson's class. So I will forgive Pastor Wilson. Because I have quite a few people telling me we're going to go over Pastor Wilson's class today. So that's all right, you know. Pastor Wilson, that's cool. So today we're going to talk about, we're going to continue on our lesson, and we're on, as I said, we're on the accountability chapter, and we're still moving through, I think we're still in day one on the value of accountability. Day one was about the value of accountability. We've gone through Ephesians 5, just looking at the different things that the scripture says in there concerning accountability. And we talked about just, again, just really going after our sisters and brothers when they need help, and also being open and receptive. Last week we talked about David. We talked about David's sin. We talked about things, how David, even though he messed up so bad, God still called him a man after his own heart. And God, you know, when David repented, you know, because Nathan held him accountable to the word of God. And when Nathan held him accountable and David turned and repented, God restored everything that God had promised in his life, the things about his lineage, that Christ would come through his line, that happened. And we were talking about that the Israeli flag still dawned. The Star of David, the greatest team they ever had. So folks, it's not about being perfect. It's about having a pure heart toward God. It's about getting it right. We made mistakes, but yes, get it right. Don't let anything between your soul and your Savior. I mean, nothing. It is not worth it. Because soul is eternal. This stuff that we get all, build all these walls about around, they're temporal. They won't matter.
Right.
So don't let anything between your soul and your Savior, you know, cast down those walls of pride and say, you know what, I'm getting it right. I'm forgiving you. You know, I don't care what you did. I'm forgiving you because I cannot have anything between my soul and my Savior. I got to get it right. So today we're moving on to the next segment, and there's a heading in your notes that says concealing brings grief and pain, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We talked about confessing brings forgiveness and healing, and then we're going to talk about, we just finished that segment up last week. I think we finished that up. Confessing brings forgiveness and healing. We were just talking about the end of David's story, and now we're going to go into concealing brings grief and pain. And if you can write this right above that statement, can you write this, sin and warfare? That should be the heading for this. Sin and warfare. How does sin affect our warfare? We got to get this so we can understand how sin can mess us up when we're trying to do battle on behalf of ourselves and behalf of our loved ones. The first comment on your lesson says, never believe that Satan is your ally in sin. Let me say that again. Never believe that Satan is your ally in sin. Don't never believe Satan is your ally in anything. He is not on your side, okay? And you need to get that once and for all. The human race needs to get that once and for all. He will take the first opportunity to expose you when you are concealing sin. Oh, he's a slick one, man. I mean, he'll talk you into it. Oh, he'll talk you into it. And as soon as you do it, oh, he will expose you and accuse you before the Father. You need to know that. He's not your ally. He is not your friend. He hates you. And he wants nothing except, the only plan he has for you is to have you dead. And not just dead, but dead in hell. That's where he wants you. Okay, so he is not your friend. We see examples of how the enemy exposes people all the time. You know, sometimes I know you feel the same thing when you watch the news and you watch the media and the things that they expose about people. You know, it's like, why? You know, I mean, you're ravaging families, telling who's sleeping with who and all of this, just ravaging people's lives, you know? Yes, it's sin. Yes, it's wrong. But there's all these innocent people around this. What about their children? What about the innocent one, the innocent spouse that didn't know? I mean, they just don't even care. It's like all they want to do is just expose people all the time. And it's like a feeding frenzy on everyone, on people's pain. You know, they're feeding on people's pain. You know, that's the enemy. That's Satan. That's not, you know, God doesn't do that. You know, it's like, you know, God, like God does you like Nathan did David. He came to David and talked to him personally about what was going on. That's the way God does it. Because, yeah, God wants to get it right. But, honey, the enemy will expose you to the point of filleting you open in front of everybody so he can destroy your life and the lives of the people around you, your family, your loved ones. You know, so, again, we've got to get this. And you see it every day in our world. And the humans accuse you, and he even accuses you before God every chance he gets. They say he'll talk to you in it, and he'll go before God and see what they did. See what they did? That's what he'll do. So we have to be aware of this. You have to understand and see when you're being set up by Satan. Have you ever been set up by Satan? I've been set up by Satan before. You know, I was fueled by emotion, and I was going to do this, and I felt I was right, and I was righteous, and I was going to take it to the, I was going to take it to the end, and just nail that person to the wall. Because I was right in what I was doing, and I was being set up by Satan, and I didn't know it. I was being set up, and the person I was going after was being set up, because it ended in a big mess. And everybody was messed up, and everybody was destroyed, because Satan will set you up. That's why I keep hitting on this emotional piece over and over again, because that's where we mess up. We humans, we can get caught up in our emotions and think that our emotions dictate righteousness. Your emotions do not dictate righteousness. The Holy Spirit dictates righteousness. So we've got to subdue those emotions and get into the Holy Spirit. And it can be done because Jesus said you could overcome. He keeps saying, he that overcomes. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. Because he's saying, with my Holy Spirit, you can overcome. You do not have to let your emotions dictate to you how you're going to behave. You can call on the Holy Spirit and he can help you to overcome. You can do it. You know, you can obey God angry.
I'm telling you, you can obey him. You can be human, but you can still obey. I have brought people soup that I was mad at. I was so mad at them. But I brought them soup because the Holy Spirit said,
did it actually spill?
They were sick. It didn't spill, and I didn't spit it in either. So your emotions can be subdued. And even the Lord bless you for it, you know, because your emotions will catch up with the Holy Spirit. But you hear the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how you I keep hearing that scripture. Anytime I feel my blood at a low simmer, I hear the Holy Spirit says, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. You know, oh man, you know when they hit you, they hit your pride, man. They hit that pride. They said something, they made a remark, a little snide comment, you know what I'm talking about, and you want to say something so bad, and I'm going to turn evil for evil, insult for insult, so you keep your mouth shut. You know, you tap into the Holy Spirit because you are in warfare. You've got to understand, as soon as you start stepping into that stuff, guess what happens? Your arm starts falling off. And you're exposed. That's what the enemy wants. So he's trying to push your buttons. You know, scripture says we're hidden in Christ. Meaning the enemy can start trying to push our buttons, but he can't seem to find where we are. He's trying to get to us. He's making those snide remarks. He's doing certain things, but he's trying to get you to react. But you have got to keep your armor on. Remember we talked about the belt of truth? You keep that belt on. You keep that breastplate on over your heart. You keep that helmet on, knowing who you belong to. You know, that helmet goes over your head. That's your mind. You know, so you know who you are. And you act like who you are. You know, so you keep your armor on because the moment you start stepping out, you're exposed and the enemy has set you up. But we don't want that to happen. The scriptures record for the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters have been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before our God day and night. And that's Revelation 12, 10b. That's an amplified. You know, he will be cast down one day. One day he's not going to have anything to say. And see, because Jesus came, when you get under the blood of Jesus, he can't accuse you. Because Jesus paid the price for you. You know, but you have to get under the blood of Jesus and stay under the blood of Jesus. As David, you know, David, you know, when he messed up, he repented. And once he repented, he was back in good with God. He had some consequences, but he was back in good with God. Remember what David prayed? He said he was praying. I think Psalm 51. And he said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, you can do whatever you want. You can take away my kingdom. You can do this, my Lord. Whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Folks, you have to understand the value of the Holy Spirit in your life. It protects you. It keeps you. It's your guarantee. You know, when Jesus cracks that eastern sky one day, folks, that Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit in you that identifies you as a child of the living God. Do you know that? That's why David said, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And that's the way we have to be. I don't care what you think. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I'm repenting. Yes, I'm confessing that I made a mistake. But Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit. You must understand that the things done in the spirit world are much more important than the things done in the physical world. We get so caught up in what we can see and what we can feel, but we need to understand that the spiritual world is more important than the physical world. The spiritual world is where the actions of the physical world begin. Do you understand that? You know, that's where the enemy is coming in, whispering in people's ears and telling them all these things. And this is where the Holy Spirit is coming in and whispering and telling you what to do. And then that's how we behave. When you see people behaving,
As the Bible says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against powers and spirits. You know, the unseen darkness. That's what you're wrestling against. So you've got to tap in. You've got to understand the importance of the spiritual world. People often act out because of the influences of the spiritual world, whether it be for good or evil. They're acting out because of the influence of the spiritual world. And we've got to be in tune to that, too. We can't walk around like Pollyanna in the physical world, just going by what we see and what we feel. Folks, you better be tapping in when you are in a conversation. You better know what spirits are operating in a conversation. You ever been in a conversation and then it turns a corner?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, something just entered here. And you, as children of the living God, you got the Holy Spirit in you, you need to know what's operating so that you can respond in the Holy Spirit. And you don't get pulled into that stuff. You know, I've had conversations with people and they just shift to gossiping. I'm done. No, I'm not adding to that. You know, and they notice, oh, Sharon got quiet. Yeah, I can't add to that. I'm not going to endorse that. You know, because the Holy Spirit said, don't add. I may even know something about that, but I will not add to it because of what it is. So again, we've got to know. People act out because of the influence of the spiritual world, whether it be good or evil. People that ignore the spiritual world are the most deceived. People that claim they don't believe in God. You know, people that ignore the spiritual world are most deceived. Even believers. They believe in God, but, you know, it doesn't take all that. I don't have to be reading the Bible every day. We don't have to pray every day. But you're ignoring. You're taking lightly the spiritual world. And that's why the enemy will run roughshod over you. Because Jesus has done all he can do for you. And if you just let his Holy Spirit sit there, that's on you. That is on you. And if you went through the day and you got to see, that's on you. Because we have, oh man, we have, what does this apostle says, this treasure. He calls it a treasure in earthen vessels. We got a treasure in these old earthen vessels that are decaying and getting old, but Jesus Christ put a treasure in us. Hallelujah. Call his Holy Spirit. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Let him move in your life. The physical world, the spiritual world is eternal, while the physical world is temporal. But the physical world will determine where you spend eternity. Do you understand? That's why you've got to be in tune with the spiritual world while you're living in the physical world. Because it will determine where you spend eternity. And that's critical. That's critical for you personally. So don't ignore that gift, that treasure he put in you. Because it's going to make all the difference on that great day, folks. And it's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, it is coming. You see the truth of the Word of God unfolding before your eyes.
Yes.
You see it. Everything it has said has come to pass. And as I said, we cannot pray away the book of Revelation. It's coming to pass. What we do pray for, we pray for souls to be saved. That's what we can pray for. Pray that people will be one. Pray that people will be one. But as far as the destiny of this whole planet, it's already set. It's already happened. Okay? We're just playing it out. It's already happened. So we just want to, again, tap into the spiritual side so we're not caught up in sin, because sin affects our warfare. We can't fight effectively when we're in sin because our armor is all laying on the ground and carrying on. You know, so you want to make sure that you're seeing that enemy coming. The Holy Spirit will let you see him coming before you're set up. He will let you see how he's setting you up beforehand. I know this. the next one of your lesson says, Satan desires to see you so burdened with shame and guilt that you will doubt that Christ can restore, forgive, and heal you. This is another part. You know, folks, some of the sin that we get into, it doesn't quite look like sin. You know, to carry guilt around. Why in the world did Jesus die? If you were carrying around all that stuff, we all were born in sin. All of us. And that's why Jesus died. Don't let Satan torment you with the guilt of your past and the things you used to do. I don't care if you did it yesterday. You can ask Christ to forgive you today. And it's gone. It's washed away. Satan and his demons, they like to operate in secret, convincing you to embrace negative thoughts about yourself, God, and his Christ as Savior. He will make you think Jesus won't forgive this one. He just forgives those other things. He won't forgive this one. So you might as well, and you can fill it that blank. He operates in secret. He's not going to tell you, hey, Virginia, this is the demon talking to you. Jesus don't love you. Oh, he's not going to say that. He's going to say, just to make it seem like it's your thought. Jesus just doesn't love me. Jesus is not going to take care of me. You know, Jesus is not going to bring me through this one. After all, I need to suffer because of what I did back in 2014. You know that big episode back in 2014, I just need to suffer, so Jesus is not going to take me. It'll sound like your voice. But you got to take authority over the enemy. He is a liar.
Yes.
I have heard why Jesus called him the father of lies. That's why people so messed up today. They are believing lies. See, people that don't have Jesus, they embrace all kind of lies about themselves. And that's why you see people all confused. Just all confused. I mean, just totally incompletely confused about everything. Whether the male or female. Confused. Because of our lies that have been told to them and they embrace it. That's why we pray for them. That those lies, those chains will be broken. Think about that song, Break Every Chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. That's why we as believers, we got to be free. We got to be free. We can't have anything between our soul and our Savior because we're doing warfare on behalf of them. They need somebody praying that can reach heaven to break every chain, break every chain. So we cast down this guilt. We understand that we're hearing the enemy in our mind. Your lesson says, but Christ taught us the attitude of his Father for his children when they have sinned in the story of the prodigal son. You see that in Luke 15. With the slightest turn toward the Father, he runs out to meet you, embrace you, and celebrate your return to him. Hallelujah. The slightest turn. I mean, just, you know, we come in on Sunday morning and we pray in the sanctuary, and you know, we pray through the building and everything. And that part of the sanctuary, then back in the rafters, that up the balcony, up that high part, not a balcony, where you go up high in the back. I like to pray up there because I remember sitting up there. I mean, just guilt-ridden, sad, broken, and just slinking into the church. You know, hoping nobody even recognized me. Let me just get up here. I just thought I could come to his house. I thought maybe I could just come and I could just sit in the back. He would just allow me to come to this house because my life is so messed up and so broken. That's what a lot of folks think. That's going through that kind of stuff. So I like to pray up there because I remember sitting up there. It took me a long time to get to the front section. Really, that's the way you feel. You're like, I'm not worthy to sit close to the pulpit. I've got to sit way up in the purple seats, way up. You know, and that's why we pray for people.
That's why we pray. I said, Lord, I just pray you break the chains as they come in. You break the chains of guilt, the chains of condemnation, the lies that Satan has bound them with, that they feel like they can't come closer to you. They can't come near to you. Plenty of seats up front, but because the enemy keeps us. I'm not saying everybody up there is that, but I know I was up there, and that's the way I felt. You know, so we pray for them. We pray over those seats. I said, Holy Spirit, do a special work back here. Do a special work in those seats. Oh, Lord, because they are the ones, Lord God, that are coming in broken. You know, so bless them. Just like Jesus said, the prodigal. Because of the blood of Jesus, your accuser is made invalid before the Father. Because of the blood of Jesus, all of his accusations against you are made invalid. So I love that. I love the blood of Jesus and what it has done for us. The next part of your lesson is that God is holy and is very clear on his attitude towards sin in our minds. Compare and contrast the two scriptures below. Now, before we talk about the scriptures, let's just talk about God's attitude towards sin, because there's a lot of commentary out there about that people think about why God is so adamantly against sin. Why is that? Is it just because, many people think it's just because his attitude has to be because he's holy. You know, God is holy, and that way, so he doesn't, that's why he's so against sin, is because he's holy, and that's true. Yes, he is holy. But the other piece of that I just know this to be true, is so much more than that. It is because of his incredible love for us that he hates sin so much. That's the other part. You know, yes, he is holy. He doesn't like sin in his sight. But the other part is that he loves us so much. That's why he hates it. He knows what sin does and will eventually do to us. He knows that sin ravages and kills our souls. He knows this. Because we were born in sin, we do not even understand how much damage sin has done to us, but God knows. God remembers us in the garden, and he sees us now. And that's why he hates sin so much. Because he loves us so much, and he sees what sin has done. You know, there's no other word, I hate to use this strong word, but sin has raped your humanity. That's what it's done to us. And that's why God hates it. Because of what it has done to his beloved humanity. So you hear people say, well, God, we don't want to be bothered with God. And, you know, oh yeah, church is for those folks. You know, I didn't want to go to church, you know. But that God, he's so holy. We don't get that love part. He's holy because he loves us. And he sees what sin does to us. And that's why he is so adamant. And this is why God cannot and will not allow sin in heaven. That's why he won't. You know, he's the one. You know, can't God let that? He was a good person. This person, she was a good person. She didn't accept Jesus Christ, but she was a good person. Folks, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're not covered. Sin is still at work in your life. I don't care how good you are. Sin is still at work in your life, and God cannot allow it in heaven. He will not allow it in heaven. He that knows to be right does it not. To him, it's a sin. And that's where God's judgment comes in, because sometimes if you don't know, then God doesn't count it as sin. But when you know it's sin, and you deliberately and willfully continue to do it, he can't allow that in heaven. Some of us, boy, if we were the gatekeepers of heaven, we'd be feeling sorry for people. It's a little sin. Oh, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it, Jesus. God is like, oh man. And that's how we work. Because when that great day comes,
you know, oh, I'm telling you, if we understood, you know, I'm glad, boy, I'm so glad I'm not God. I'm so glad, because I don't know. I don't qualify. I just couldn't qualify. But he qualifies because he knows everything about everybody. And he knows those that are his. He knows, but he is not enough. Like we just said, the accuser of the brethren would be cast out. Satan now, according to scripture, Satan now can go in God's presence and accuse us. But there's coming a day when God won't even allow him anymore to come and accuse us before. Yeah. No sin. All wickedness. Nothing before his presence. So we have to understand the whole picture. God sees and knows all of the pain of mankind. He sees things that we, you know, I just watch the news and some of the news stories, and I'm just sickened by some of the things that happen concerning children, you know, the sex trafficking, and all the things. I'm like, God, how in the world? But can you imagine God sees it all? Sees what they do. We're just hearing about it on the news, but God is seeing everything. So there's a reason why God hates sin so much. Because he sees what it has done to us. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be so lifted. But we're going to have an experience that we never had before. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that sin had me that burdened. You know, even these bodies we live in, you know, the aches and the pains and the struggles.
Yep.
You know, even to be liberated from these bodies.
Hallelujah.
You know? Yes, and the reason why our bodies are the way they are is because of sin. This is the way Adam and Eve started out. They didn't have a time limit on their lives. That's why we grow old. Because God put a time limit on our time here on earth. And that was love. I know we don't say that was love. Because I can't imagine being here, living on this planet for thousands and thousands of years in this state. Oh no.
I don't know.
Take me, Jesus. My time is up. You know, he wrote all our days in a book. If I read all our days are numbered in a book. Honey, when my day comes up, I'm like, see ya. You know, don't even grieve for me. I will see y'all later, okay? See ya. You know.
That's what I have said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peace out, honey. Y'all can put that on my tombstone. Peace out. Yes. Yes. You'll be ready to go. So God, you know, in his love, you know, we gotta see. So we, you know, this whole talk is about it. So we can see sin for what it is. And understand why God hates it so much. So that we would be so careful with ourselves. Not to let our armor get tossed away because we decided to step into sin because of our pride, because of our emotions, and we're going to step. No, folks. Let it go. It's not worth it. Stay. Focus on the spiritual. When you interact with people, you know what spirit's operating there. So you can be praying. And taking authority, and you don't have to say it out loud. God can hear you from within. You see that. You know, I walk into meetings and people acting up, and I said, you're going to shut when you get this stuff done. And God will, and he'll do it too. So as we compare these two scriptures, the first scripture is from Ephesians 5, 11, 12. And it says, do not participate in the worthless or unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. Again, this has to do with just, again,
just keeping yourself away from sin. And I like the way they put it in the Amplified, because they're saying you expose people by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. Just by living for Christ, you expose people. You know, you've seen that happen. You know, they're not inviting you to go anymore. You're not coming to the party no more. You know, they're not inviting you to drink that work anymore. Because you are doing something different, you know? You know, they're slinging back there, Johnny Walker's in there, some kind of whiskey. I'm trying to think of the whiskey. You know, and you're sitting there drinking your club soda and you're smiling, not getting into the gossip, and you know, like, you know what? Why? Because you expose them. You expose them by your godly character. You expose them, and don't think those spirits that are operating them don't know it. You know, because see, you gotta have a picture of the spiritual realm. You know, I mean, I'm not one of those people that can see in the spirit. I know people that can see into the spiritual realm, but they can see things in the spirit, you know, both good and evil. Because good and evil are in the spiritual realm. And they can see demons, and they can see angels. And those demons can see those angels, because once you become a child of God, you have an angel assigned to you at all times. 24/7, there's an angel, at least one. I think some people got two. I'm convinced my son Matthew got three.
Oh yeah, he needed three.
He needed three. Okay. When he was younger, he needed an entourage, man.
I'm convinced that my dwarf and archangel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of all the problems I have.
Yeah. So I'm telling you guys, you've got to see what goes on in the spiritual realm and why those folks don't want to hang out with you anymore. Because those demons that hang out with them don't want to hang out with you and your angel. You know, that demon whispers into Sally's ear, let's not invite Virginia. Let's not invite Rita. You know, oh God, don't invite Rita. You know,
because
you know.
And it's funny, people don't even swear around you.
Yeah, they won't swear. They won't be. Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. You know,
people that
and you never even told them you were a Christian. It's because when you live the life, you expose them, and they know. Oh, I'm different. They're different than me. So I'm careful. I have to be careful around them. You know, and those spirits hanging around them don't like that. So in the scripture, it's amazing how truthful the word of God is. That's why you see that happening, for that very reason. And it says, for it's disgraceful to even mention the things such people practice in secret. You know, things that people talk about. I mean, it's like, don't even repeat it. Be careful about testifying for Satan. Don't testify for Satan on what he's doing and what he did and what so-and-so did and who slept with who and all of this kind of thing. You're testifying for Satan. You know, you don't even have to mention it, the scripture says. It's disgraceful even to mention things that some people practice in secret. The next scripture says, if I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. That's Psalm 66:18. Now, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. If I regard, I know I'm in sin. I know it. And I do nothing about it. I'm going to qualify that. You know, because first of all, the truth is God cannot, will not bless sin. He won't. He won't bless it. So if you continue to practice sin, he cannot bless what you're doing. When you're doing, even the sin of disobedience. I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to necessarily be a sin where you're, you know, doing this, sleeping with someone's husband or something like that, or somebody's wife. It doesn't have to be that. It can be just disobedience. God told me, I'm telling you, God told me that. I don't know if I ever told you that story, but when I used to practice medicine, it's also Oklahoma. And we had an OB service, an obstetrical service, and I was called one night to deliver a baby one night, and I remember that God had spoken to me weeks before. before that I needed to, it was time for me to leave. It was wrapping up, we were out. It was time for me to leave Oklahoma. We were leaving Tulsa. God told me to tell the head of our clinic that I was leaving, that you need to talk to him and tell him that you're leaving. And I wouldn't. I didn't want to leave my practice. I didn't want to leave my patient. I didn't want to. So I just brushed it off. I kept brushing it off. I wouldn't listen. I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to even think that's God. I'm just going to go, you know. And so I just kept going and kept going. And I was calling the hospital that night. I'll never forget it. And this young first-time mom was in delivery. And so we got through the delivery. She was delivering the baby okay. And then after the baby was delivered, I mean, this mom just started to go downhill. I mean, she was completely couldn't figure out why she was bleeding. I mean, it was just horrible. I was like, oh my God. And I told him, I said, okay, but I need to call the obstetrical backup to come in. We might have to take her to surgery and find out what she was bleeding. But while we were there, I mean, I remember sitting there and I felt the Lord say to me so heavily, he said, if you will not do what I told you to do, I cannot bless what you're doing. Oh man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's exactly what he said to me. He said, if you will not do what I told you to do, I cannot bless what you're doing. I mean, my practice was blessed, but at that point, you know what I told you to do. And I tell you, I write within myself, I said, Lord, forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father, I pray. Don't let this mother, this young mom, die because I'm in disobedience. Because that's what I was feeling within myself. I said, God, she might die because I am in disobedience. Lord, so don't, please, God, don't let that happen. You know, and I'm telling you, the moment I said that, you know, our OB backup came in, we took the mom to surgery, she survived. It was some strange thing right after her uterus ripped in some strange way. And the obstetrician even said, I had never seen anything like this before. But she came through it. And I remember leaving the hospital. It was almost morning by that time. And I was leaving the hospital. And oh boy, I was just shaking. Going home, I was just driving home and I was just shaking. And I remember, I said, okay, Lord, as soon as I get home, I will call. I would call the director of our clinic and I would make an appointment. He said, you got a phone right there in your pocket.
Oops. Boy, you know,
nothing gets past him, you know? I had a phone right there. I didn't really have a car phone. I had a phone right there. He said, you can call him right now. I'm like, okay. So I called him and I made that appointment. And nothing stopped me from saying and doing what I needed to do. I followed through. And God just took care of the event. So I'm telling you, folks, even disobedience, when you are in disobedience, God cannot bless what you're doing. You know, and sin on top of it, you know, you're doing something that just, you know, is sin. God cannot bless what you're doing. I've had people that, you know, are in sin, and they come to me and say, would you pray for? I said, I'll pray God's will be done. That's all I can pray for you, is that God's will be done. I can't pray that God blesses. I'm just going to say, God, let your will be done. God, minister to you. That's all I can pray. Because he's a holy God. He loves us and he takes us from a place. He takes us out of sin. So you got to understand that God will not bless sin. And on the other part of it, but you have to know that what you're doing is sin. Because some people can get away with things that I can't get away with. I don't know if you've seen that in your life, but some people, like baby Christians, they can get away with stuff, and God will bless them, and take them through, and I can do the same thing, and you know better. He that knows, she that knows to do right and does it not, to him or her it sends it. You've got to see that in the lives of other people. Don't judge them. You know, I can't believe she wore that. Well, she doesn't know any better. You do. I can't get away with wearing that. For me. So we have to understand the word of God. As I said, that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth and not knowing the word of God. And if you're doing something about it, that's another thing. You know,
Lord, I want to hear you. Lord, I'm willing that you make me willing kind of prayer. And I'm praying, Lord, and I'm reading. I know people like that. They know it, but they're trying. They're reading their word. They're praying. They're sitting in the back of the church. You know, they're trying. You know? So God, I believe, honors that. I've seen him honor that. They're trying. He wants them to see. You're like the prodigal. You're still a far ways off, but you're coming home. You know, and the Father's running out to meet you. So if you're in that place, I encourage you, stay on the journey with God toward your complete deliverance. You know, because sometimes when you're in sin, it's not easy to get out of it. It takes time sometimes, and it takes effort, and it takes growth in the Lord. So if you're on that journey with God, I pray, you know, I encourage you, continue on the journey with God until he gets you to where he wants you to be, to complete deliverance. And he's faithful, he'll do that. The next one in your lesson says, note several things about our sins before God. So again, it's important to understand our sins and warfare. The point says God is merciful and that he only holds us accountable for the sins that we're aware of. I just hit on that. David knew better. Therefore, the consequences for his sin were severe. We must keep this in mind in ministering accountability to others. Everyone was not raised in the church and in Christian homes. Some young believers are unaware of the truths and commands within the Word of God. Therefore, be careful, as you would with a child, to speak the truth in love and to teach, not condemn. Okay? It's really important to get that word. That's the divine. You know, everybody doesn't know what you know. The scriptures teach us. So any person who knows what is right to do but does it not, to him it is sin. That's James 4:17. The next point says, the fruit of the consistently righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures and wins souls for God. He gathers them for eternity. Boy, that's Proverbs 11:3. Isn't that a beautiful one? That you're gathering people for eternity. You've got to understand the importance and the vital work you do in ministry. Your whole attitude can turn the course for somebody. You know, to see them. You know, people come in, you know, the church and you run into people, and yes, they don't have the best clothes. And yes, you know, maybe they don't smell that great. And maybe they're this way, maybe they're that way, maybe they're practicing things, you know, before your attitude can turn the tide for people. As the scripture has said, he who is wise and captures and wins souls for God, he gathers them for eternity. So we minister to them carefully in living the life before them, in giving of yourself to them, taking the time. You know, don't brush people off because you don't think they're worth your time. Oh, wow. Another person that could have been gathered for eternity, but you brush them away. So again, we want to be careful with ourselves. The next point says, the apostle teaches that we should not even talk about the sins of others. In doing so, we perpetuate and testify of the works of Satan. And we talked about that. If you repeat a matter, be sure it's to edify God and not his enemies. Again, you know, I'm just surprised at how much we talk about what Satan does. Mm-hmm. What he does, what he does, what he does. And how little we talk about what God does. Oh, wow, we got to change that. Many people testify and write about their former sins, but within their story of deliverance by the hand of God and to his glory. Amen. As we talked about John Ramirez telling his story about God, how God delivered him from Satan. So we want to be sure that we're careful. We don't want to be just gossiping. We want to be, if we're going to repeat a matter, make sure it's edify and not just to tear down somebody. Even if they're not there, as you are telling somebody, as you're tearing them down, because at some point if that's one more person that knows what happened, you know, and it tears them down. Next point. Finally, God is holy and so removed from sin that he will not hear the prayers of the deliberate sinner, the one who willfully and continuously sins before him and then asks for blessings from him. We already hit on this. And this is good for the sinner.
hear your prayers. You know, I'm glad David wrote that down because it's the truth. Because he's a good, good father. And just like a good, good father doesn't reward wrongdoing. He doesn't reward things that a child does bad. Not a good father. If you do that, you're going to end up with a brat. A brat that's going to get in trouble, not even get killed. Because a good father didn't do what he was supposed to do. A good father disciplines his children. And that's what God does for us. King David knew this truth very well when confronted by Nathan the prophet concerning his sin with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. He immediately repented. He knew that even with the consequences that would come from his sin, he wanted God, he needed God to hear his prayers. Boy, he had such a wonderful relationship with God that he knew this. And so do we. You need God to hear your prayers. I'm so glad that God is listening to all our junk. You know, all our stuff. I mean, he hears it, but he doesn't, you know, all the times we talked about God before we knew him, and we cursed him, and we said all kind of craziness. I'm so glad that he was merciful and he continued to help us. He doesn't give us what our sins deserve. He cried, David cried, create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And that's Psalm 51, 10, 11. This is the man who knew God. Do you know the importance of the Holy Spirit in his life? Do you know the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, it amazes me how we talk, all the junk that we talk about God. You know, when you hear unbelievers talk about God, I'm like, do you know? Do you understand? He's giving you the breath to say what you're saying about him. Do you know you're breathing his air? Do you know you're eating his food? Do you know you're living on his land? He just speaks a word. He just nods, and you can be gone. Oh, I thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy for me. I can't even look at anybody else. I'm thankful for what he did for me. Amen. That he was merciful to me. Truly, with all of his poor decisions, David was a man after God's own heart, letting anything go that would separate him from the presence of his heavenly Father. Can we do the same? Oh, folks, can we do the same? I mean that again. We get back to our accountability. You know, can we forgive and let things go? Why would you let another human being get between you and God? I had to learn that. I said, oh no, I'm sorry. You cannot get between me and God. I need God too much. And I'm not one of these people that pray these prayers. You know, when you're in a desperate situation and you say, oh God, if you would just answer this prayer, I will never ever ask you for anything else. Oh, I never said that. I said, oh no. Oh no. See, God, I'm going to need you tomorrow. I'm going to need you in the next hour. So I don't even be praying those prayers. I pray, God, you help me today. Help me. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to need you in 5 minutes. Okay? So we have to realize how much we need God. Oh boy, you know how merciful he is. It says in your lesson, truly, with all of his poor decisions, David was a man after God's own heart, not letting anything go that would separate him from the presence of his heavenly Father. Can we do the same? The scripture asks us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? That's Romans 8:35. So as you engage in warfare, you need to contemplate your answer to that question. Who's going to separate you? What's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Okay, you need to answer that question for yourself. The apostle is asking it. He's asking it as a rhetorical question in the scripture, but it's a question that needs to be answered. What will it take for you to separate from Christ? And I think for all of us, our answers may be different. A little different. Lord, if that happened, I don't know. If Lord, if it don't know. You know who it is. Loved ones, oh God. You know, I'm a mama. I'm like, Lord Jesus, please don't make my baby. Don't make my children, Jesus. What is it? Oh, but I can see people get and we face it all the time, folks. I love this class. I'm loving this class because it's we're coming down to where we live. You know, and we're coming down to where we live because we see this all the time. When people go through hardships and losses, something happens with them. I've seen Christians grow from beautiful, loving Christians to bitter and angry. They may even still be going through the motion, but inside they have shut their heart down. So you gotta answer that question, what's that separate you from the love of Christ? And I believe it happens because we don't understand who he is. He made everything we have, our children, everything, all our loved ones came from him. They're not ours. They're not our possessions. He lets you raise those children that are his. He lets you raise them. Oh, we gotta see this for what it is. And he loves them more than you. That's a hard one for mamas. That's a hard one for us mamas. And fathers. But it's a hard one for parents. But he loves you more than you. But you have to answer that question. What is it going to take to separate you? Because that's going to be an important issue in your warfare. What's going to stop you from praying? What's it going to take? As you engage in warfare against Satan, you need to contemplate your answer. There's a reason why it's called warfare, because Satan will hit you back. Okay? We got to understand, Satan hits you back. Yes, we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Yes. You know, but I'm telling you, you start setting out some things, you start doing some warfare, get ready for a dark. And the scriptures call it fiery dark. Not just a dark, it's on fire. Okay. They come at you. I have seen that pattern in my life. You know, you step out, you do something, you do something with somebody. Oh, here comes the enemy. Have you seen that happen? He hits back. But you have got to determine in your mind that you are more than a conqueror. That's what's through him who loves us. Yeah, oh, you can throw your fiery dart, but I got hot shoes of faith. And I'm going to take authority over you in the name of Jesus. And you're going to regret the day you fired that dart at me. Because I'm going to take authority in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not in my name. Because Karen doesn't have any power against this. But boy, my Savior. You know, you ever see a kid with their father? They're all like this. But when your daddy's behind them, you're like, come on, now. You know? How do you like me now? See? Got my Jesus here. How do you like me now? That's the attitude we have to have, huh, man? Oh, say, yeah, you push me down in the playground, but now Jesus with me. How do you like me now? And he'll go scrambling. He'll go running. The scripture says demons tremble at the sound of his name. Hallelujah. So you got to say you're more than a conqueror. Your armor's in place. So if you keep your armor in place, you keep your prayer life in place, and keep nothing between your soul and your Savior, like David. David wouldn't have anything between him and God. And finally, let me finish up. Do you have someone who holds you accountable for sinful patterns in your life? Boy, that's a good one. Think and pray about who you might approach to begin accountability relationship. Ask God to bring accountability into your life so that you can walk in healing and wholeness and the confidence that your prayers are heard. You know, this is a good thing, folks. glad for the people that speak in my life, you know? Because we all get discouraged sometimes. I don't care who you are. And to have somebody that just pours into you and says, hey, okay, come on. Come on. I remember when, I've had people say, I remember when you told me, and they pour my word right back, and throw it right back at me. Did you believe that? Or were you just talking? Oh, man. And I love that. People that will encourage you. You know, don't ever get this attitude that I'm always the encourager and never the receiver. All of us have to be both encourager and receiver. Because sometimes you need to be built up. And sometimes you need to be encouraged. So allow people to encourage you. It may be a family member. It may be your spouse. It may be a good friend. You may already have that person in place. I can think of people in my mind. You know, I never thought of them that way as my accountability person. But as I look back, that's what they were. So make it clear in your mind. This is a person that God has placed in my life to make me accountable, keep me accountable spiritually. You know, accountability doesn't just have to do with when you do something wrong. Accountability has to do with when you're feeling down. When you need encouragement. Boy, that accountability person, spiritual accountability. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see what's going on with you spiritually. Come on, let's pray. That's accountability. So you might not have that person, but you just need to solidify that in your mind. That's why that person is in your life. And when you do that, you'll stop fighting them so much. You know who they are. You know, and sometimes you don't want to hear what they have to say. Oh, God. You know, you don't even want to hear what they have to say. But God put them there for a reason. That person, oh man. So you know, stop fighting them and start receiving. Yes, you're right. You're right. So yeah, I'm telling you guys this because I had to go through that process. Okay. That's why I'm telling you. I thought I was all bad. I was supposed to be the encourager all the time here. After all, I'm teaching the faith building class. And I realized God took people in my life who encouraged me. And I tried to put on a bitch. Was in my shoes.
Yep.
And God knows it. And He'll send that person that'll encourage you. Receive it. I'm going to thank you. Thank you that I'm not alone. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just appreciate it. Once I started to receive it, oh man, things started to lift off of me. Because sometimes God is doing the lifting to a person. You won't let in. Let them in so that you can see this thing lifted. Somebody called me the other day. I mean, I was in my office feeling just so low. So many things going on. I'm like, Lord Jesus. And my sister called me from Atlanta in the middle of the day and said, God told me to tell you that everything's going to be all right. And so,
anybody have a comment? I know I use it most of the time. Anybody have a comment? Okay. And
You know, I've heard mom say that, that you need to take them home for them to be with you, or to take them. I'll see them on the other side. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
In Jesus' name.